Hey, I'm Wendy Sanders, also known on the Twitter as Kenya75.
And I'm Jake Duncan, and I am at Duncan Bilingual on Twitter.
And this is Cutting Education, the show where we talk about all the cool things.
Right, and I'm excited. It's a Happy New Year to you. It's great to be here with you. I know you're very pumped up for tonight, right?
Happy New Year! Yay!
Yeah, so we had a really great Christmas show, and I really enjoyed that. I think we had an awful lot of fun. So I'm really excited to get to talk about a lot of different things for this new year. Some of our professional and personal goals. We've got a lot of stuff going on. We're going to try and not go too long like we did last time, but it's great to see you, and I hope you had a great Christmas.
I had a great Christmas, and I had a great New Year. I was celebrating in style.
Awesome. Yeah, you were up in Chicago, or outside Chicago, right?
Well, actually, I was home for New Year's. I got home on New Year's Eve, and I was in the hot tub drinking champagne on New Year's, so that was good.
Well, you can't beat that. That sounds great.
Yep, it was great.
Okay, so thanks for joining us. We are looking forward to a great 2014, and we've got a lot of stuff that we want to share with you and a lot of EdTech talk that we want to talk about. I've been reading a lot of those blog posts that are sort of predictions about EdTech in 2014, about what's to come with technology and education in general. EdSurge had a great set of posts on those, and I think a lot of those were really interesting, so maybe we'll be able to talk about some of those things as we talk about our professional goals and things that we'd like to see this year.
That would be awesome. Let's do it. Let's talk about goals. You want me to talk about my goals first?
Why not? I'd love to hear about your goals.
I'll tell you about a little something we've got in the works at our school, because I don't think anyone from my school listens to this podcast. Not that it would matter anyway. but anyway, we got a little thing going. I just got something approved with my principal and a couple of the teachers that I work with. As you might recall, we did something about personalized learning spaces or transformative learning spaces at EdCamp Austin. And I've been really interested in that this fall. And I made a connection with a guy who's an architect, and there's a possibility that he might help us with some furniture design. He was the one who showed me SketchUp Pro, and I've just been talking to some teachers about really transforming their classrooms, and one of them is super excited. The other one, I'm not sure how excited she is, but it's looking like we might be able to write some grants and change the world through transformative learning spaces. So I'm very, 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 very excited about that.
Yeah, that sounds very cool. And you said that you were thinking about working with an architect to sort of design or look at different ideas for furnitures or for ways for reconstructing and making a better use of those learning spaces. I got to hear a little bit about some of those things. I think earlier you were about to tell me about some of the things, the specifics about different kinds of furniture and pieces of things that you were interested in or thinking about.
Right. Well, I got this book, The Third Teacher. I don't know if you've heard of The Third Teacher, but it's the same firm that where D. Jakes were. Oh, I just broke the rule. There's a firm up in Chicago.
He won't mind. I'm sure he won't mind that.
There's a firm up in Chicago, and they were part of this book, The Third Teacher, and it has all kinds of great ideas, and even like Ken Robinson, Sir Ken Robinson is in it. And anyway, they got some great people in there, and they talk about really great things, and it's just reinforced and kind of reassured me about the things that I'm interested in for changing our classrooms. Like one of the big ones for me is the light that comes in your classroom. And in our technology lab, I think I've probably told you this before, that we keep the lights off generally because of the fluorescence. And we have a pretty big window that has blinds on it. And we keep the blinds open just enough so that lots of light can come in, but you can't, like, people from the outside can't really see in. But the light is a huge thing. We've been talking about possibly painting. I'm not sure. But even with, we were talking about with the furniture, just making furniture that's flexible and you can reconfigure it easily, and it's probably soft, and it's just easy. It's I'm looking at kid-sized furniture and things like that, but the whole crux of that came from some research I did after I read an article in an ISTE magazine back in June, and they had gone to Australia and done some research, and they had come up with, and I don't know if they came up with it or if the people in Australia had come up with it, but basically there's three learning zones, and one is the campfire, and that's like whole class group activities where I saw this really neat piece in a piece of furniture in a picture, and it's like this corner piece, but it almost looks like stair steps, but it looks like you can fit a lot of kids on it, and it looks like it's soft and flexible too. But stuff like that, where you could have whole big groups of people sitting together, and you know, when if you were doing like whole group teaching, which I know that's kind of being phased out in a lot of schools, in a lot of places, after talking to a lot of people. But so the whole group with the campfire, and then the other thing is the cave, areas where kids could work individually, and the last one is the campfire where kids. The watering hole where kids would work collaboratively. So
that's very cool. I love the ideas behind the names of those. Recently, I'd be wanting to hang out. I would have a hard time deciding because I would always want to hang out at the watering hole, but the campfire sounds very tempting right about now too. I know everybody all over the U.S. has been going through that, so there's no way that down here in Texas that I should be able to complain about how cold it's been. But
it's not a real campfire, Jake. It's just a term.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, I'm digressing already, but I had always been tempted to write a blog post about campfire because so many people have taken issue with receiving or not receiving, rather, credit for a lot of the ideas for things that, or for other people taking credit for ideas, for the unconferences.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of those unconferences, I know that the Teach Meet started way back in 2006 and were really big and in England, and you know, ed camps have gotten a lot of recognition, and I, you know, obviously I think both of us think that ed camps are fantastic. We love those and love that bar camp sort of mentality. Unconference. There's just been a lot of unconferences that have gone on before then too, and so people, I had sort of taken issue with people wanting more recognition for coming up with a name that's just a variation on the whole idea of the unconference. And so I was whenever I talked about it, I said that basically, that's that we should just make one and call it the campfire, and it, because that's probably when it originally was. That was the cavemen getting together and deciding, hey, you know, talking to each other with their clubs and telling them, you know, if you hit in this spot, then it knocks the mammoths out really quickly. And so people getting together and learn, basically, I guess probably I would think started around the campfire time. So that's always my whenever I think campfire, I think of how that's really what the next one of these big unconference ideas should be, that these are they're all the same rehashed idea that we're all going to get together and learn from each other, and people are sort of trying to make variations on it, when really any time that people get together to learn is just a wonderful thing. So that had nothing to do with what you're actually talking about, but that sounds, I really like the nomenclature for it. I like the names for those areas of the classroom. I think that revitalizing the space that we've got in our classroom is more important than a lot of what we heard at the Ed Camp Austin was about building new, whenever you get to decide to redesign or to design a brand new campus that you're going to build. And a lot of us, you know, we're not going to have those new campuses for quite a long time. That's obviously very important too, but being able to make better use of the space that we've got and being able to, just the things that we can do in our classroom to make them, you know, more viable learning spaces and better for our kids. So I was really interested in that conversation. You know, I was there with you, and there were a lot of great people in that room, and then watching online, we shared that video for the transformative learning spaces at Ed Camp. That was my way of sharing, was just I'll turn on my Chromebook and then just turn on a Hangout on Air and let people watch along while I just sit there and get to listen.
There were some special people watching.
Yeah, and that was pretty neat to some of the – you already mentioned him, right? So it wasn't, I guess –
I didn't mention anyone.
You didn't. All right. Well, that's awesome. We'll forget that. But I'm really excited about the potential and hearing what you have what you're able to present on and learn about. I'm in a district where we can have lamps for the first time. And it's the first time that I've ever been allowed to plug in an electric light somewhere, because we've always had issues with fire marshals, and you can't have so many things plugged in, and you know, that type of thing. And so that's really neat for me now, and I sure enjoy it. I have on my fluorescent bulbs, we've got them so that you can turn off. You know, there are three in each light, and so you can turn on just the two on the side, or you can turn on just the one in the middle. So generally, I try to turn on just the one in the middle and then turn on the lamps also. I think that light's really important, too. And I definitely think that the seating and all of those types of things, there's so much more than we could do. I've been trying to get the desk out of my classroom all year long, and I've had a couple people ask, well, if, you know, what are they going to write on if they don't have desks? And I was like, well, I'm, you know, checking out the carts for iPads and for laptops as much as humanly possible, and, you know, we don't necessarily need to use an awful lot of paper and sit and write, but how about our books? We could write on our book. Anyway, there have been some people that are not huge fans of it, huge proponents of getting the desk out of my room, or if we get the desk out, then can we immediately get in some bigger tables?
Right, something else, yeah.
Something that's really exactly the same thing, and you know, we have some friends who have been trying some really neat stuff this year with the bean bags and just lots of different couches and things like that. And, you know, we thought that was innovative whenever I was in high school, that, you know, our high school or my English teacher and dual credit English teacher and now our early college English teacher had one love seat in the room, and we fought over that. You know, that was a really big deal to us at the time. So I think we have so far to go as far as making better use of our classroom for student learning and making that really the goal. And, you know, there are still places where they have the desk nailed down. And in the United States, too, not in just foreign countries that don't have the exposure to all of these ideas. There are still people who are really desked in rows. I know. You probably see some of those, too, huh?
Well, and I have seen some desks in rows, but I think the big thing, too, is, like, hoping that this will really start to be the tipping point for some change in our schools. Like, if we can get this grant written, if we can get some, like, furniture made and people can see, oh, wow, like, look how they're doing it. Look, 'cause I think there's some reservation, especially, like, with one of the teachers, that they kind of are like, well, how is this going to work? And, you know, I don't know if – I thought they might be a little more ready to, like, ditch the desks. But I don't know if one of the teachers is really ready to ditch the desks. And I think she's wondering maybe where are they going to work. And I just think maybe as soon as I talk to them more about it, they'll – or maybe start to just brainstorm and get some ideas, then they'll maybe catch on a little more. But – I think it could really go somewhere. Even just at our school, I think it could go somewhere. So,
sure. I think it's funny. My students, whenever they come into my classroom and see the desks in a row, they're like, do we have a test today?
That's funny.
Like, I would not tell them that we're going to have a test that next day, that we're just, you know, we're going to come in and I'll just tell – all of a sudden we're going to have a pop test. But I agree. We talked about how – I know I'm already digressing from talking about our professional goals, but this is you? You're voxing me right now? Really? You know I can't turn Voxer off. And we're talking to each... Okay, fine. But I think that we talked about how educational technology, how EdTech in 2013 has really taken off and sort of broken through a lot of barriers. And I think that maybe some teachers are going to feel overwhelmed with that and those ideas of a lot of my district's going to be going one-to-one with Chromebook.
Right.
And maybe that might be too much for them. Or these are things that we could do without any educational technology, too, as far as learning spaces, that that doesn't require that, and that students would benefit from that regardless. But I think that there could be some pushback from things like that, too. But hopefully, you know, you've got the tipping point. Reference that enough of the teachers are wanting to just try new things in sort of all aspects, you know, what works and what doesn't, and let's try new things if things aren't working. So
right, yeah. I agree.
Well, you know, it's a big year. I'm really excited for this year. My classes have been trying to do a lot with gamification in my classroom, And so I'm really excited to get to present at TCEA about using 3D Game Lab in the classroom as our learning management system. And that's coming up pretty soon, so really looking forward to getting to talk to people about that and some of the ways that we've been using that to gamify our classroom. And then coming up in ISTE in Atlanta, I get to present with Shelley Terrell, and we're going to be talking about gamification on a shoestring at ISTE. So really looking forward to that, and that's going to be the first sort of gamified conference session that I know about. We're going to actually gamify the session, so it's to try and model a lot of the stuff that things that have been shown have been working for me and my students. And I've learned so much about gamification from so many people at RSCon and just all over that I think that that's going to be a big trend that is really going to take off this year. I know gamification's been around for a while and took off sort of in media and with business and back in 2011, but I think that it's going to be a really big thing this year, not just game-based learning, but actually sort of, you know, gamifying the classroom, whether that be through technology or other means. So yeah. A lot of the things that we'll be talking about there are very low-tech, or some of them are even, you know, no-tech at all that don't require that, just ways to get students more engaged and more motivated. So really excited about that. There's just so many things that I'm excited about this year, but that's a big one, and gamification is something I've been, you know, really interested in for a while, so looking forward to a lot of that.
Do you think you can bring me in on Google Hangout in your ISTE session?
What's going on? Should we?
Well, I won't be there. I'm not going to ISTE.
Just to bring you in on the Google. Okay, I thought you meant like that you wanted to come in and talk to us.
No, I don't want to talk to you. I just want to see it. Like, and I won't be there.
Can I don't know. Can I say that right now? I'm not sure if I'm allowed to do that. Can you just...
What day are you presenting? Do you know? Or no?
I don't know yet.
Oh. Because, you know, my birthday
I do know, but I don't have it handy right now. And
my birthday is during ISTE this year.
Oh, well, then you should be there.
I can't because there's a very important baby coming, so...
That's true. Okay, yes. Well, not that I forgot that, but I'm still just going to try and, you know, if possible.
And by the way, since we're live, it is not my baby. Just to clarify, we might need some sort of... well, that's the wrong thing. I clicked the wrong thing. Yeah, just to clarify, it's not my baby.
What? Not is this a reference to the baby that you clicked the wrong thing? What were we? Are you gonna?
No, I was gonna click a sound. I was gonna click a sound effect.
But instead, you're in Venice. You're the Queen of Venice.
Oh, what the heck? Oh my gosh!
That's awesome, man. I wish that all audio podcasts could somehow we can take a screenshot of this, and this is gonna be the picture up on iTunes so that you can see this whenever if you want to go pick. And since I said that, we are available on iTunes. If you just go to the bit.ly link, it's bit.ly and then Cutting Education, and that's with a right? So excited about that. I want to hear some more about the things that you've got going on. I wanted to hear about the little EdTech women. What have they been up to, and what plans do you have for them for this year?
Well, I've thought about this. My friends were home from Honduras this Christmas, and they were actually staying in my house. And how do I get rid of all this stuff? And now I'm stuck with it the whole time.
Well, that's awesome.
I'm not going to mess with trying to get rid of it. It's too much.
Okay, I'll try not to leave it.
Well, those are all the things I chose before, and then they just showed up literally. Like, remember I was playing with it earlier?
This is when you're trying to make like a... What sound was that? Was it the wah-wah sound that you were trying to make?
I should have been making that sound. And then which one is womp-womp? I don't even know which one is. That one?
Sad trombone style, yeah.
Yes. Anyway, what I was saying was my friends in Honduras, when they were home, I am going to try and get them coding in Honduras. You're still laughing at me, aren't you? I need to just get rid of this now because you're just going to sit and laugh at me the whole time.
No, but so are they, well, no, you said, once you said coding in Honduras, then I'd like to hear about, are they going to try and work with the kids there to get them started on some Scratch or
something? Yes, the one that they're probably going to do is that code.org. They have from the Hour of Code. I don't know if you know that one or if we talked about that one, but you can basically, it's just like similar to just dragging and dropping items in, kind of like Scratch, where you have to complete like these missions. And
the one that uses the Angry Birds and stuff like that.
Yes, yes. So we'd like to get that started, but I don't know if they'll be able to do that or not to start off with. But eventually, I didn't know this because I think we talked about this, how you can put Scratch on a what do you call that thing? USB drive?
We did, because at the time, I'm the one who didn't know that Scratch was available online. I thought that it was still just a download.
Okay.
I didn't know that you could do it online.
That's right. So we did talk about it. So I had this brainstorm the other day, and I thought, you know what? It would be really cool to do some Google Hangouts with the girls in Honduras and my girls here, because I happen to have a bunch of Spanish-speaking girls. So I could have them speaking in Spanish about what we're doing to the girls in Honduras. So that's one thing that I really want to do with them for Little EdTech Women. The other big thing for Little EdTech Women, which we're going to apply to go to this STEAM Maker camp, and it's going to be at ESDAC in Hutchinson, Kansas. And our lovely friend Ginger Lumen is one of the ones. Oh, crud. There, I did it again.
I was going to do it too, actually. I was like, well, we have to give a shout out to Ginger Lumen.
It's really difficult not to say people's names. And it's not like I'm name dropping, but it's really difficult, you know, because there's stuff that we're sharing that we know people. So anyway, they're having this STEAM Maker camp in the summer, and you have to apply to go. So we're going to apply to go. And I'd be able to take like six to eight of my Little EdTech Women. But because we're a Title I school, the girls can't afford to pay to go. You know, you really can't expect them to pay for the registration, the hotel, the food, the gas, and all that. So I'm gonna try and write a grant to get that funded. And I have another idea up my sleeve. If we don't get this certain grant, I have a really good idea of what I might be able to do to get it funded, but somehow I want to get my girls to Kansas in the summer because this camp that they're having is a STEAM Maker camp. They're going to learn how to use like Little Bits and Makey Makeys and all this cool stuff. It's going to be like real problem-based learning, and Kevin Honeycutt, I think, is going to be doing it too. And so yeah, I'm really, really super excited about that. I've been working on that, but I have to do like a presentation for the grant and everything. So I've just been busy. I was slammed today. Slammed.
Cool. You know, just to throw it out there, I think something that could be really fun is that you could use, well, I was thinking maybe the GamePress app lets you create lots of really cool games, but you could use something that's like Game Salad. I'm not sure if you've used that, but it's got the Mac and they now have the Windows version of it. But you could actually create a game, and if you have an Apple Store license, basically, if you've submitted something as an app, if you're like a developer, maybe you could have them create, using Game Salad, have them create a game and maybe sell the game for a dollar in the App Store and let that be an actual app, and maybe use that, some of the funds from that, to help to, you know, sort of supplement that.
That would be really cool.
Fun to do. Yeah, but a quick test. What is STEAM? What is that about? What's STEAM stand for?
Well, it used to be science, technology, engineering, art, and mathematics. But actually, if you look at the ESDEC website, they're changing it to science, tinkering, engineering, aesthetics, and mathematics.
Awesome. Love that.
So it is very exciting, that is.
Yeah. Well, they do great stuff at ESDEC. They're, you know, a great group of people. So that's really exciting. Those are both. I just think about what that would mean for the kids there down there in Honduras, the ones that are, because they'll be in school during that time, right?
Yeah, they will. Well, they get out at technically at 3:30, so it could be like an after school club. But here's the thing: like when I went down in Thanksgiving, the girl that I'm sponsoring, Glacey, I've known her for 3.5 years. So it was like, no, when they posted her picture that she needed a sponsor, it was like, yes, I'm sponsoring her. Because I've known her since our very first trip to Honduras. And this kid is so smart. This kid speaks English, she speaks Spanish, and she speaks Mosquito. Wow. So I mean, a trilingual kid, and we were walking over to the school one day. On the second day we were in Honduras, they had like a work day for the students and parents over at the school where we painted, and Glacey actually lives in one of the villages outside of Puerto Lempira. She has a family. She's not a true orphan, but she lives at an orphanage because when she was little, she had like clubbed feet or something wrong. She had some disability. So Dr. Tom Bryan, the guy who runs House of Hope, which is one of the organizations we work with, he flew Glacey to the States, and she lived here for like a year while they did surgery on her and fixed her. I think she had clubbed feet or something like that. I'm pretty sure. So the kid is just smart. And so she lives out, my point is, she lives out in a village, and she was getting ready to go home for Christmas for the holidays because their holidays are, their summer break is our, like our winter time. And it's, so they get off in like November and they go back to school in February. So she was getting ready to go home for the village, but she was there for this one work day, and she had her little sister with her, who's like 2 years old. So we were trying to carry her to the school, and we were walking down, and I just ended up talking with Glacey, and it was really neat. Like, I got to talk to her about her goals in life and what she really wanted to do, and she, one thing she said is she's interested in computers. And it's like, well, there you go. Like, we're going to have – we have a fully funded computer lab. When – when Laura and Alex, our friends, were here and staying at my house, they ordered 20 HP laptops, and they took 20 laptops. They got them back to Honduras, all safely there with routers and everything. And it's just really, it's going to be really neat. These kids are going to have some great opportunities just to have computers, you know, just to be able to do that. So hopefully I'll be able to do some Google Hangouts with Laura and help her. It's just going to, it blows my mind. It just blows my mind. But anyway.
Well, I love getting to hear you talk about that. That's just, that's amazing stuff, and y'all are doing great things down there. Just very, very cool stuff. I, as far as a personal goal this year, how's that for a second?
Oh, wait, a personal goal?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not a segue at all.
Oh, okay. But,
yeah, so as a personal goal this year, I was wanting to try and sort of embark on the 30 goals for educators. I haven't taken part in that for the past four cycles, but I wanted to at least try and do a few this year, and maybe that will be able to get me into trying to get more out there, to write more, to be able to publish more things, to put stuff on my blog that I have but don't really use. So I'm just kind of looking forward. There's so much to that, and it's gotten to be it's such a huge, you know, thing that, you know, the first cycle there were a lot, you know, just so many people that joined, and they did it in, I think, just in the 30 days or something. But now I don't know that I could have accomplished that, gone about that. That feels like a big undertaking, you know, for me, because I feel like I'm busy with just classwork all the time, just doing things for class and prep and grading and things like that. But I'm really wanting to do that, so if anybody out there is interested, if you haven't heard of 30 Goals for Educators, you can check it out at 30goals.com, and that's the number 30goals.com. So join me, and maybe we can collaborate or do some things together, and then maybe we can make some connections there, and we can get our students to do things together. So I'm really wanting to work on collaborating more, and I've had a difficult time with that. I've got seven classes, but eight periods. And a lot of the collaboration that I'd like to do, it just really limits that to just, you know, one class is able to do something, or we can't do anything for the first half of the day because the person that we're collaborating with is 5 hours in a different time zone. So I'm really excited about those couple of things. I want to try and get a lot more collaboration this year and just try to plan things out a little better and get a little – this is my first year just doing – world cultures, and I'm not, you know, not certain that I'll be doing just world cultures next year. I'm at a sixth grade campus that will become a middle school next year, so I'm not terribly sure as far as what we'll be teaching, what that will entail. But regardless, I still want to try and organize myself a little bit better. I think that sounds like, you know, that's many people's goal, is to just become a little bit better organized and to plan things out more. But really looking forward to collaborating with more people, and I'm really my students have really enjoyed the collaboration that we've been able to have this year. But it seems like there are more and more and more avenues that will be now, instead of just the mystery Skypes and looking people up through those through the Skype Classroom site, that now there are there's the mystery Hangout, Google Plus community.
Oh, yeah.
There's just so many more opportunities to meet people and collaborate. And I've actually found a lot of people through Edmodo over the course of this year also that were looking to collaborate. And it just hasn't, the timing hasn't always worked out. Even though we teach sixth grade world cultures, and a few of them were actually bilingual classes too, it's just that our curriculum has sort of dictated what we'll be teaching and when, the scope and sequence. And so that necessarily hasn't always worked out, even if I were sort of willing to buck what we were supposed to be doing for the sake of getting the students to be able to collaborate globally and just to talk to people in other places. It's still just been really difficult. So that's a big goal of mine this year, something I really want to work on.
So can you share with us just really quickly, what is 30 Goals?
It's basically 30 goals through the course of the
oh,
year.
Oh, wait. 30 goals is 30 goals? Oh, I see.
And so they're very manageable goals. Are they
pre-made, pre-packaged, or what?
There are those 30 goals from each of those previous four cycles. So a lot of them, you can do any of those, or you can do the goals that people are choosing this year. So really, there are, that's not an unlimited number, but there are plenty to choose from, so you don't have to do this certain goal at this given time, and you don't have to do all of them. You know, you can just do as few as you like, just to try. It's about bettering yourself and trying to make yourself a better educator and just making yourself better for your students. So I'm going to try and do as many as I can. I'm not going to promise myself that I'm going to do all 30 that are set out this year. I'm sure I'll choose some of the previous cycles goals that really interest me, whatever I'm interested in. Maybe that's just selfish of me, but whatever I feel that I'm going to benefit from the most and that my students will actually get that benefit from.
Right.
Or so you're saying those two things will overlap.
You're saying the teacher needs to be the learner? Is that what you're saying?
Did we mention the name of the district that you're teaching at?
No.
Okay. No, but yes, but I definitely think that teachers need to be lifelong learners, and I think that they're, for the most part, I think that teachers want to be, and they don't know about all of the opportunities that are out there. And I think that that's kind of the main reason that we do this, right? That we get together and try to share just our conversations is to let people know about what really is out there in the way of professional development. And professional development in, I think, probably most of our districts has been historically pretty awful. The sit and get at the beginning of the year where you do that for 5 days in a row for 8 hours a day.
Right.
Don't take anything back and use it. And so this is much more valuable PD for free. And
well, I have to interject there because I will say that my district is really good at, they're really trying to amp up their PD. They really are. I really think they're going places. They don't want sit and get. They're movers and shakers, as my mom would say, and I think a lot of districts might be sit and get still, but I think people are going to start revolting, you know, people are going to start saying this is ridiculous, and they probably already are saying this is ridiculous, that we're having to sit here for days, and we have something called the Institute at the beginning of the year, and it's like 5 days long, and you can choose, you have to get 12 hours or something like that, but you can choose the classes you want. And they need to probably kind of maybe go with your campus improvement plan, but they give teachers choice, you know. So it's nice because they, you know, if we want, you know what I mean, it just kind of trickles down, so.
Sure, absolutely. And well, I mean, we said that earlier. I think that this past year, that 2013 was a huge year for, as far as not educational technology, because it's not about technology necessarily, but really about just the opportunities that are out there that we're making use, because it is technology, because we are seeing what there really is to offer through all of these different media.
Right.
And that we've been exposed to things like EdCamps, and that people are taking those, districts are taking those back to their campuses, and they're trying to sort of emulate even the EdCamp model for a professional development. So I think that it's things are getting a lot better, from what I see. Now, we'd certainly like to see that progress at a much faster rate, but at least it seems like things are changing for a lot of districts that we're looking at.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So, what do you want to talk? You want to tell us some of the upcoming professional development or conferences that you know that are going on that people should check out?
Yeah. I think it's really good to share about conferences. When I first got on Twitter a few years ago, like, Twitter was the place I found out about conferences. Like, literally, actually, 2 years ago, I guess, I found out about a regional conference that's run by one of our friends in Area 7, and he's really awesome.
Well, now we should go ahead and say him anyway.
Okay, Scott Floyd.
And he's a WO scholar, W-O scholar on Twitter. Might as well give him a shout out.
Right, okay. So everything we said we weren't going to do in this episode.
Why not?
We're doing it now.
We break the rules every time.
Break the rules. Rule so breaker.
He has an Area 7 conference.
Rebel. Yeah, Area 7 conference. And I heard about that on Twitter, so I went. And I ended up meeting all these cool people. And I wouldn't have heard about it unless I was on Twitter. And I wish that someone had told me just like, oh, there's this conference, and then there's this. And like, I didn't even get to go to TCEA last year because I didn't really find out when it was or what it – well, I kind of knew what it was, but then by the time I was, like, wanting to go, then my principal was like, no, you can't go because you're in fifth grade, and fifth graders have to pass their math test, and if you're not here, then, you know, they're going to lose a whole week of teaching and all this. So I didn't get to go, but my principal has graciously helped me out this year to go, and I'm very excited. I got a grant to go for – and so that's the first one I'll talk about is TCEA. TCEA, let me find the list. TCEA is happening in February. It's February 3rd through 7th. If you're not signed up.
Yeah, that's the Texas conference, right?
Right, Texas Computer Educators Association. I forget that we have other people that are not in Texas. They have premium registration, which is 5 days of learning, and they have academies, and cool guys like Jake Duncan will be presenting stuff about bacon and 3D game lab and all this other whatever he's presenting. I don't know. But anyway,
you left out the Google Apps scripts part, like the part that actually is we're talking about app scripts, and then bacon is just the extra awesomeness.
Bacon's the most important part.
So. Okay, fine. I guess I can't argue that. Yeah, that's
so anyway, that's happening, and I do know that they were sold out of the premium registrations because I tried to register. And then they kicked it back and said they were full. But then I immediately got on the wait list and got in like 10 days later. And that was basically when they came back to the office, like they had been out of the office. So if you want to do premium registration, you probably still can get on the wait list for TCEA. I haven't been, but from what I heard, it's going to be pretty amazing. Almost as amazing as ISTE, which is in June. Do you know the dates for ISTE?
The 20, I don't know.
It's usually the 28th, right? Or the 29th?
See, I think last year it was the week before. Last year it was started on the 23rd. So
it was the week before last year because I left the next day for Aruba to celebrate my birthday. So
we talk like we don't have internet access. I can't look that up.
That's oh, right. You could look it up, I guess. Don't worry about it. It's like the last week in June, like the 28th through the 3rd or something like that. And that is happening. That's International Society for Technology and Education. And that's an amazing conference, too. Like, it's just people from all over the world and people from every state and everywhere go to that. And that is going to be in Atlanta this year. So that's if you haven't heard about ISTE, you probably need to gather your pennies together and save up some money so you can go to ISTE. Maybe you can ride the mega bus, Jake, if you can't afford to fly.
I'd be needing to gather up your nickels for ISTE. The iPad Palooza, I saw that on your list.
Yes. Do you want to talk about it?
Well, I'm just excited. I got to attend iPad Palooza. I missed the registration for it, and Sir Ken Robinson was there last year. They actually held a video competition or video contest, and I made one with VideoScribe, and they actually selected mine, and I was able to go attend for, you know, I'm bragging about that. But, no, not only did I actually get to go, but I got to go for free, so that was very cool. And the folks I don't know who exactly, I'm not going to say who specifically puts that on, if it's that district, but There's some great people there too that do iPapalooza stuff, because I don't want to just give. I don't know that it's just those certain people. There's a great group of people there. But that one is in Austin, right?
Yes, that's in Austin. That's amazing. That was the very first conference last year that I got to present, and you were there, Jake. Remember, you took my picture?
I did.
And I had to tell people to be quiet because they were all talking. That was awful. But anyway.
So, yeah, well, I mean, there's a couple more that I know that you're – iPadPalooza, you know, I'll mention Carl Hooker because I know he's going to have something to do with that. He's Mr. Hooker on Twitter, and he'd probably feel bad if I didn't after mentioning how awesome iPadPalooza is, and it was great to get to, you know, get to chat with Sir Ken and get to see him do the keynote there last year, and there were just a lot of great sessions there too. But I know that you're probably really excited about Podstock as well, right?
Yeah, last year I've actually gone to Podstock for 2 years, but I'm really, really, really probably not going to go to much after TCEA this year. Like, I really am debating even if I should go to iPadPalooza. I think iPadPalooza, we didn't give the dates of that, but I'm pretty sure it's the 17th, 18th, and 19th. And the reason I know that is because my friend who is having her baby, she is due the 28th, and they're saying that they might go as early as the 20th. To have their, well, they're not going anywhere because they'll have the baby at home, but I'm a little concerned that I would go to iPadPalooza and that I'd miss the baby being born. So I'm really like, I don't even think I'm going to go. And it's exciting because I know I probably could present again at iPadPalooza, but it's just, I don't know, I feel like I got to be there. I'm torn. I'm really torn. But yeah, Podstock.
Let me talk. I got to see you present also.
And yes.
Yeah, iPadPalooza was. You can check that out at iPadPalooza.com also.
Podstock is a great conference. And my friend Andrea Keller, a.k.a. BusyBee on Twitter, she I met her at Podstock. I actually learned about Podstock because I saw Kevin Honeycutt at our Region 10 conference a few years ago. That's a local regional conference. And I met him, and he was, like, really cool, and I started talking to him about some Donors Choose stuff, and he said, hey, I'd love for you to come to my conference. And when he meant my conference, it really is like his conference. Like, it's really only, like, 300 people. It's very small. It's, like, family. It's in a really small venue, like at a hotel in Wichita, and I think it's called Old Town Hotel. It's awesome. It's an awesome conference. If you can go, it's an extremely good deal. It's an awesome time, and it's in Wichita. But that's usually like, it's like about 1 month after iPadPalooza, so it's like July 17th through 19th or something like that, or somewhere around there. But last year, that's funny, last year, because last summer was when I got my new job, and the day that I had my interview with my new principal was the day I left for Podstock. So as soon as I interviewed, I jumped in my car. For some reason, I had to go to the car dealership. I can't remember why. Like, I had to get something done to my car. I don't know why I went to the car dealership. But then I had to stop at the car dealership, and then I jumped in my car and went up. Oh, I might have had to get an oil change or something. Then I drove up to Wichita, and it was awesome. I love road trips. Hashtag road trip. So anyway.
I see the other one. They're great people there. Again, well, we've talked about Kevin Honeycutt, and Ginger is also a part of that too, right?
Yes, Ginger is. That's Lumen. Ginger and Kevin are big parts of that, yeah. Because, well, and Ginger, they both work at ESDAC. I don't know what that stands for, but it's this educational something place in Kansas.
And I know, well, IPDX is another huge conference that's going to be going on. But and you can talk about that too. But I want to hear about the one that you have that you've got going on, sort of locally for your area.
Yeah, we haven't even really started planning for this, but it's going to be totally awesome. It's on our calendar right now. It's Playdate Irving, which is on March 22nd of 2014 this year. There's Playdates that have been done before. There was a Playdate in Chicago run by Jenny Majera, and then I don't know if Allison is it Anderson, right? Allison Anderson.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't even know her name. What's her last name?
Allison. I thought she was the Italian dude.
Ted Rosisi. Ted Rosisi on Twitter. But the reason I'm getting confused is because she's my friend on Facebook, and on Facebook, which you shouldn't be on Facebook if you're on Facebook, get off Facebook. It's evil. On Facebook, she's like Allison, and then her maiden name, which also starts with an A, but I can't pronounce it. And I don't know if I want to say it anyway, because then all these people will be trying to friend her, and, you know, whatever. She's so modest. But anyway, so what was my point about Playdate? That I'm pretty sure she organized a Playdate last year in Portland. So it's basically like an ed camp in the way that it's an unconference, but we would be having different rooms that would be set up for different apps where you could learn different apps and how to use them. So it's, I got to get going on that, but we're going to make it happen. Playdate Irving, March 22nd. We need like hosts, room hosts, like moderators. So Jake, you're going to be my first person. I'm going to sign up to host a room, and you can tell me what app you want to host.
Sounds good.
So you think about that. Okay. And then when you figure it out, let me know.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I like the idea of play dates. I think that's cool stuff. And then, well, we sort of mentioned IPDX, but that is where does that take place?
Portland.
Okay, I know that, but I was asking anyway.
it's in February. Also, I'm sure Ted Rose CC would know. Or iPad Sammy. I think iPad Sammy's going to go.
Cool stuff. Well, yeah, that's quite a few really big upcoming conferences. Am I allowed to say that Twitter is pretty awesome? And once you learn the hashtags for some of those conferences, and some of those are more expensive than the others, and if you certainly can't afford to actually be there in person and get to connect, I mean, it really is great to connect with those people and meet them face-to-face, but you could sure learn an awful lot for free by following the hashtags and just seeing
what people are sharing. Right.
So some of these conferences that you don't necessarily have to attend everything, that you can just go home and look at Storify the next day, or just look at some of the just look at the hashtag for the next couple of days and then see what the great stuff was to come out of there and just check those things out on your own. So you don't have to go spend a ton of money to go check all these things out. You can do a lot of stuff for free.
No, but
there's some great people to see there. So let's talk about some apps.
All right.
Because I get to look at the show notes here, and like we never talked about this app, and I like it. So it's your app. You tell us about it.
You know about it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm sorry. It's the pink one, right? I'm on it, but apparently, like it locked me, it logged me out or something. So I'm gonna.
I think it is. Now where is it? I must have put mine.
It's pink,
in.
I think, with a little flash on it.
Yes. Okay. The app that I want to share. I love asking people what apps they like or what apps they use. So I met a friend on the bus when I was driving to Chicago, and that was an experience, hashtag megabusadventures. And I said to him, what is your favorite app? And, well, one that I didn't put on there was the new Walking Dead Episode 2 game, which I had to download right away as soon as he told me that. But the one I wanted to mention is called Quiz Up, and Quiz Up basically is like a trivia game, and you match up with these people, and you get to compete against them in all these different questions, and there's so many different categories, and I think they're adding new categories all the time.
Looks like it.
Yeah, but they have like all kinds of variations on TV shows, and like they do have a Walking Dead category, and that's what I love. I love that one. They have just all kinds of things, lifestyle, celebrities, everything you can imagine. I don't even know why I don't have it pulled up. I should have pulled it up, but I didn't realize you were going to talk about it right now. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, there are 311 topics. There are 311 topics. If we were on Techlandia Cast, then our buddy Kurt Rees would be playing some 311, I'm guessing, right now.
Yeah. Oh, because, he probably would.
Let me just apologize for that then.
I will have to find you on QuizUp, and I will have to make you play games with me.
It is it's a great one, and to play, it's one of the most fun sort of trivia games that you can do. And there, like you said, there are so many different categories. It's really cool. Anyway, QuizUp.
It's free, and if you want to be able to waste some time, play QuizUp because it's awesome.
Right. I've got one. It came out today, and so by the time that anybody's listening to this, then it will already be hugely popular because it was created by Biz Stone of Twitter fame. It's called Jelly. And it's a way to, it's sort of a new, if we were to create a search tool today, if, you know, Google, if you weren't 20 years ago and we were creating Google, then what would it look like today? And so basically it would be much more social. So the idea behind Jelly is that you can take a picture of something. If you're out walking along and you see something from far off and you think that that's really interesting, or regardless of what it is, then you can take a picture of that thing, you can draw on it, and then you can sort of ask a question like, you know, what is this monument that I can see far off in the distance, but I don't, you know, I'm not going to get there. And basically, you can put that out there to your social networks. You can connect Twitter and your Facebook, probably more than that in the future. You're able to just ask socially, and then people can respond and tell you what it is. You can also answer other people's questions. So if nothing else, it's a, just a, if you have a minute, then it's a great way just to check things out and see what you can help people out with. And those, these questions can really be anything. It doesn't have to be anything like that. It could be, I saw somebody today ask where, how we should hang a frame that he had on a wall. So I took a picture of basically the frame and the wall and said, you know, what would be the best way for me to get this up there? And you can, you know, people could respond by using the picture, and they could draw back on the picture too, and you know, give ideas. You put a nail right here and draw a little nail right there and tell him where to do it. But you can, people know things, you know, and
right, right.
Knowledge is different than information. People want to share their knowledge. Just because information is available out there and you can go and look things up doesn't necessarily mean that it's just the information there, but it's not somebody that's actually knowledgeable about it that has done it that is able to help you. And so, cool stuff. I think it's a really interesting one, and you know, it's got some serious backing behind it. It's you know, Biz was one of the, he's the CEO of it, I guess. So it's Jelly, and it looks like a jellyfish.
I can't seem to find it. How come?
Go to the site,
blog.jelly.co,
and I'm not sure. I had that same issue today in the App Store. I had to link from the site to get there rather than searching in the App Store. I think it's a pretty interesting app, and I can see students I can see students misusing this really easily, but that's also, you know, what have we said, that cheating in the real world is, in the real world, we call cheating collaboration, right?
Yeah.
So students that have a problem with a certain math problem they can't figure out, they'll probably take a picture of the math problem, and then there will be people trying to write the slope-intercept formula or whatever. There are other ways to do that, certainly, but I just think, you know, there's some really cool things that you could do with this, and you can help other people out. So if nothing else, just do that if you don't have a problem.
I'm going to use it right now while we're talking. How to get rid of guy on podcast. No, just kidding. Right, well,
I've got one good way for you. So my last app, is that cool?
Yes, share your app.
It's called CamFind. It's CamFind, F-I-N-D, and it looks like it's a blue, and it's a blue magnifying glass as the icon. It's not one of the flat icons. It looks pretty neat. I suppose it's been around for a while. But you can basically take a picture of anything. Now, it's also a QR code reader, so you could use it as that, and I'm not sure that it'll replace my iNigma because of iNigma speed. But you can take a picture of anything, and it will find, it'll tell you what it is, and it will sort of comparison price it for you. It'll work like ShopSavvy does for just barcodes. So with ShopSavvy, you can do that with a barcode, take a picture of the barcode, and it'll tell you, you can get this cheaper at Target, you know, next door for, you know, $5 off. But with this one, you can take a picture of any, just take a picture of the actual object, and it'll tell you what it is, and then it will give you prices, and it will also use Yelp to find where you can buy that thing near you. It's pretty amazing the way that it actually works.
It is. I just took a picture of you, and it identified your hat, and it was like baseball cap, black and white.
Wow. Now, if it could actually get the logo, then it would actually be able to do that, too. I tried it with a student's hoodie today. It was some brand that I'm not familiar with. It wasn't like Aeropostale or anything like that. But I took a picture of it, and it said the name of the brand, and it said hoodie, and it gave me locations where I could buy basically that exact same hoodie. It said it was black when really it was blue. But really pretty amazing technology. Sort of, I guess, the technology that's behind Google Goggles, but it's a lot faster. It actually says it out to you.
Right.
Lets you compare prices. Tells
I
you
like this. I like this app a lot. I think this is one of my new...
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I took a picture of my MacBook, and it's telling me where I can buy a MacBook.
That's awesome. Well, you could probably have found that without that, but
right. But it's totally cool.
So that sort of led me on the quest I chose related ones because I was like, this is pretty sweet. And some people in the review said that it didn't work, and I'm like, I tried it and it absolutely works. It's pretty amazing. Another app that was related to it was called Tap Tap C.
Yeah.
And you know how I'm really into the apps for sort of accessibility to make students with any kind of disability. This is for VI students, visually impaired students, or blind people. Tap Tap C does the same thing, but you can take the picture from any angle. You really don't have to angle it, and you just tap your screen twice. It will take a picture, and you'll have VoiceOver on if you're a blind person on an iPhone, and it will tell you seeing impaired, vision impaired. Go back to that instead of saying blind, I guess, because you don't have to be blind. But you could take the picture of it, and then it will tell you what that thing is. So it works along the same lines, but can you imagine how handy that could be for people who are visually impaired? If you're getting something out of the fridge and you don't know, is this the soup or is this the beans, then you could take the picture, and it really apparently works very well, too. I haven't tried it too much. It worked with a couple of things that I tried, but that one is Tap Tap C also, and that one's free, too. So if you have students, I'd like to really see somebody. Maybe we should get somebody on making a list.
Don't have any visually impaired, I don't think, at our school, but that would be totally cool.
Well, I actually had a student. He's now at the school for the Texas School for the Visually Impaired, and he's going to be there. He's in this intensive part for 6 months before he becomes part of a residential thing where you can learn to live on your own, and he's going to have a roommate and be there for a year and a half. So these type of things I'm really interested in for him, and games like the Blindside app game, I think that those are just these things that are for people who are visually impaired. I think that there needs to be a great list of all of these tools to get that out there for those students. And just for students with all the different kinds of disabilities, mobility issues, there are some great things out there. So that seems, CamFind seems like a very cool app and worth checking out. So should we want to move on to, let's move on. Is it okay if we go ahead and do this today anyway?
We can move on. I just was going to say,
you're ready to go, I know. You're tired.
I was just going to say,
I've worn you out today.
I was just going to say that it's funny because I have an ITS meeting tomorrow, and I know, like, every time you share stuff with me, if I go and share it, people will be like, oh my gosh, what's this new app? And they'll be like, this is so cool, and I'll be like the coolest kid. I'll get to sit at the cool kid's lunch table because I'll know all these cool apps. So thank you, Jake Duncan.
Isn't that a cool one? I mean, I don't know why I haven't seen that. I'm sure somebody shared it a lot before, but I just hadn't seen it until today, sort of randomly. I'm not going to, I've been following these new different tools that are these new different sites that show you new tools, or they're just people who find something that they think is new and cool, and they will share it, and people sort of upvote or downvote it like Reddit. And there are some really neat things on there. Some of it's just junk, but there are some really great things, and that was one of the ones that I saw there. But now it's time for, no transition whatsoever, but now it's time for You're Doing It Wrong. This week's You're Doing It Wrong is don't tell people you're doing it wrong. What I mean is offer alternatives. That it's easy for us to just look at, in a lot of these times, that you can look and see things that people are doing that are just, they're making things way more difficult than they need to be. That's often because they don't know the alternative or an easier way to do something. So provide sort of easier alternatives. Show a teacher or show students how you can help make their lives easier by using these technologies rather than just sort of calling people out for what they're doing that they're doing because they're uninformed most times. That's there's a reason that they were doing it wrong to begin with. So even though I'm going to consistently do it, and I will probably do it again the next time we talk, don't tell people that you're doing it wrong. How's that?
Yeah, don't blow out their candle. All right. You want me to wrap it up?
Yes, please.
I just wanted to share something. You know, we've been talking about goals and everything, and I want to share something. Someone had posted something on Facebook the other day about if you could describe this year in one word, how would you describe it? And I've thought about that a lot. And I think my word for the year is do, D-O. Like, I just want to do things. I don't want to sit around and talk about them. I want to do things, and I want to be really intentional in what I'm doing. I want to just do things and know that, number one, that it's making a difference, but that I'm just doing. I think that too many times we get caught up and then we don't do anything, and I want it to be just action this year instead of talk. It's my year for life, love, and the pursuit of happiness. Ha ha. In the modified words of our founding fathers.
All right. Well, thanks to everybody else for joining us, and check us out on Twitter at CuttingEDGU. We're on Google Plus, Cutting Education, CuttingEducation.com. Anywhere else? Am I missing anything?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, thanks for watching, and
go forth and learn.